And there are a lot of questions now about how the pandemic will affect schools and whether or not kids are safe to go back. But how will this moment of racial reckoning change the landscape they return to? Some schools are ready, some are not. We're going to be taking a look over the summer at different ways that schools have instituted anti-racism curriculums. And we start today with a story that many feel illustrates the need. Zakiya Jarrett is a teacher at Pierce Middle School in Milton, Massachusetts. During a virtual videotape lesson with her sixth graders, she used two Langston Hughes poems to launch a conversation about race. And then, with the George Floyd killing in mind and knowing all her students were aware of it, she asked them to analyze a third poem by Nikki Giovanni. And then she said something that led to her being placed on administrative leave and plunged her largely white school district into a self-examination about race. Zakiya has been reinstated after an uproar from parents and teachers. She joins us now to explain what happened. Zakiya Jarrett, welcome.
Thank you.
The poem by Nikki Giovanni was Allowables. Nikki, a black poet, speaking about killing a spider. The lines of the poem end with, "I don't think I'm allowed to kill something because I'm afraid." It seems like such a perfect starting point in these times for a teacher to put that out to students. They did an analogy. You thought they needed a little help?
Yes. So I asked my students to think about that poem and see if they could determine, come up with an idea for what the extended metaphor in the poem would be. And a lot of them were completely missing the metaphor, even saying it's about a spider. It's saying you shouldn't kill insects. And I said that I thought it was about how, you know, as people, we often respond to others based on our own beliefs and not necessarily based on what the other person has done. And then I took it a little farther and said, sometimes when people are angry or afraid, they lash out, even though the person who's receiving their aggression did nothing. And I cited Ahmaud Arbery and said how he was killed by two racist white people who were responding to their own interpretation of his black skin, not because of something that Ahmaud Arbery did.
And of course, Ahmaud Arbery was just jogging.
Yes. And I said, in addition to those, the men who killed Ahmaud Arbery being racist, that there are many police officers who are racist as well. And using that as an excuse for killing someone is not a good enough excuse.
A recording of that made it to the school principal. You were, as we said, placed on administrative leave. Just stay in that moment. First of all, it was against the rules of the school for somebody to record that lesson and send it along. But when you're called and told this, and you really don't even know why, what were you going through?
I couldn't think of what the specific thing was that I had said. My principal told me there was an allegation about a comment I made in my class, and he wouldn't tell me what it was. And I literally started making a list, trying to think of anything I could have said that might have been misconstrued or offended someone, but I didn't know. And I was honestly terrified. You know, I called my union vice president and asked him what I should do because I had no idea how to go forward.
Yeah. And by the way, you were in part responding to the news, but also responding to a letter that had come out from the district to the teachers saying, we want you to openly talk about race. Our silence on issues of race and equity will be interpreted by those in our care that we accept the current unjust reality. We do not. The phrase unjust reality is talking about the George Floyd killing. So you made this comment. You didn't say all cops. What did you start hearing from other teachers?
My colleagues said that they supported me and that the statement was true, that, you know, what my district told me is that I was editorializing and that was inappropriate for me to have said. But my colleagues came back and said, that's 100% true. You know, there are many police officers who are racist. I wasn't saying most or all or just many. They were concerned about the fact that my lesson could be taken, recorded, and then I could be punished for that.
Yeah. Well, you said it. You felt like Amy Cooper. This is the white woman in Central Park who called police on Christian Cooper, the black bird watcher, and said, I'm going to say there is an African-American man threatening me. You had this person, somebody calling you out, you think unfairly.
Yes. And the reason I likened it to Amy Cooper is not just because they were calling me out. It's because the video was sent to the police in my town and to the state police. It was I cannot imagine why that would happen unless it was to intimidate me, right? To use the idea of the police having a video of me to make me feel scared. And it did. It did make me scared.
Sure. Look, more than 400 parents signed a petition accusing the Milton School District of not prioritizing teaching students about race and racism. They said that the incident with Ms. Jarrett, you, the district's lack of systemic all-hands-on-deck approach to educating children in this critical moment reflect the substantial work that remains to be done. And for people outside of the New England area, this is a pretty well-to-do Boston suburb. It prides itself on having some diversity in its schools, and yet it's pretty much a white community. Your thoughts on, you know, this convulsion and what needs to happen going forward?
So it's a huge undertaking, and I think that there are multiple facets. I think that we need an anti-racist curriculum in general, but that also needs to impact every class. That needs to be the math curriculum, you know, the English language arts curriculum, the science curriculum. It's not just let's do one class that talks about racism and we move on. It's intertwined in everything we do. So I try very hard in my own instruction to make sure that I expose my students to, you know, authors of different backgrounds and to different voices and the characters that they read, and also just to give them a place where they can actually speak about race. For many of my sixth graders, when they enter my class, I'm the first person who has let them know it's okay to notice that race exists, to say that I am a Black teacher. Because for so many of them, it's been taught that it's taboo to notice that people have different races.
We're not supposed to see color.
Right.
And we're talking about schools. Do you think there needs to be extra sensitivity to kids who might be the children of police officers? You know, to not impose on them a burden that's not their fault either.
That's definitely important, because I don't want my students to feel as though I am blaming them for anything. One detail that didn't come out in the newspaper or in any of the things is that I spent a lot of time saying to my students, especially to my white students, that I know that when we talk about racism, white people, white children often feel guilty and feel responsible for it. And I made it very clear to them that systemic institutional racism has existed in this country since before they were born. And also to let them know that everybody has biases and prejudices, myself included, and that until we can recognize that about ourselves, we can't work on fixing them. You know, it's this idea that systemic racism is not the same as individual racism. It's not you're calling someone the N-word. It's not necessarily because you're a bad person, in quotes, but that doesn't mean that someone can't still be racist. And I think that's a very nuanced idea that children should be introduced to.
Mm. That's Zakiya Jarrett, a sixth grade English teacher at Pierce Middle School in Milton, Massachusetts, who had been placed on administrative leave, kind of locked out of the school system, when she made a reference to some cops being racist. She's since been reinstated. Zakiya, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
We reached out to the Milton School Committee. We'll post their full statement at herenow.org. They say their actions were wrong and negatively impacted students, that this incident has caused the district to deeply reflect on its practices, and they had already engaged a cultural proficiency coach to create a multi-year plan to help educators and staff with things like unconscious bias. So what is your school doing? In the coming weeks, we're going to hear from those which have successfully instituted anti-racism curriculums. John Hobson directs the Reframing the Narrative program at the Albemarle County Public Schools in Charlottesville, Virginia. He says social studies classes are now eye-openers for middle and high school students.
Well, I think a lot of students have been really upset with us in the past when they, you know, discover, for instance, that Thomas Jefferson was a slave owner, which, believe it or not, you know, people in Albemarle County, you know, where Thomas Jefferson's home, Monticello, is, that fact has been concealed in many cases.
Teaching anti-racism in schools. Let us know your thoughts at hereandnow.org.